And I think that, yeah, and I was, what is the day that people go into the water?
Oh, Día de San Juan, which is June 24th. And that's the day when it's believed, it's Día de San Juan Bautista, which is John the Baptist, right, who baptizes people in the water, with the water, right? It's a day that traditionally people believe all the waters at the break of day become holy. And so people immerse themselves in the waters to cleanse themselves. And so they might get in a pond or a river or a lake or the acequia, and that's the day of the blessing of the waters. But there are other days that are observed in the agricultural calendar, and there are other saints, I think, that are connected to water, perhaps more directly or indirectly. San Isidro is the patron saint of farming, and that's May 15th, and that's celebrated widely. And in some cases, it's been revived, like in the South Valley of Albuquerque, where for many years people didn't do it, and now they're reviving it, and they form it, they walk in procession. They often carry the saint, the image of the saint of San Isidro, who is portrayed as a man plowing with an angel at his side, or else the angel is plowing and San Isidro stands at the side, and there's a whole story about how this happens. They carry the santo or the bulto often through the fields to bless the fields on the Dia de San Isidro. In the South Valley of Albuquerque, they go along one of the ditches behind the church, and they bless the father. The priest blesses the waters there. So, in any case, San Isidro was one of the revered saints, and it's as the patron saint of agriculture, but also of laborers. He's revered, particularly in relationship to agriculture.
Okay. And my final question is: if you have, you know, anything that is tangible to you, that is a sign of the connection between land and culture. Anything that...
What do you mean, tangible?
Or just, you know, like cambalache or red and green chili or anything that you could...
Well, I think all the things I've talked about. I mean, certainly the activity connected with acequias, not just... I mean, the preparation of land, the plowing of land, the seeding of the land, the irrigating of the land, all of the activities connected to being on a ditch, including the fighting over the water, the rituals of procession, certainly procession, which isn't always just connected to agriculture. It's a calendrical thing to celebrate the local saint. All of these talk to me about the connection between people and land and culture and place. They're all ways in which individual bodies, as parts of larger collective bodies, inscribe the landscape with meaning, and in the process, their own bodies are inscribed with their identities and that and their connection to this place. So all of these things, for me, are tangible expressions of people's connection to their land and their water and their sense of place and their sense of who they are. And what I've found, and I did this in my book, is that when you talk to people, when you talk to people who are regular, everyday irrigators, farmers, ranchers, parishioners, what they have to say, when you ask them and you listen to what they have to say about their connection, about what it means to them, that they're the most eloquent, that there is no way to improve on what they themselves have to say about respeto, about water, about land, about who they are, about their relationship to their place, about their sense of continuity. They can, all of that, it seems, people are very eloquent about.
Okay. And if there's anything else that you'd like to say?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think one thing that's important is very often people see that these agricultural traditions are a thing of the past and that they're doomed. First of all, there's an incredible tenacity among land-based peoples here, even though I'm not talking about people who just live by farming and have never left their hometowns. There are networks their economic lives are in many ways transnational. I mean, they're urban, they're fully, you know, modern urban people. They're completely embedded in the wage economy of the nation or of the world. There's often a sense that the agricultural traditions and commitments belong to an older generation and that they're doomed. And we've been hearing this, as well as the ritual forms. What I found is that, you know, anthropologists and others have been predicting the demise of these forms for several generations, much as people predicted that all of the ethnic groups would melt into a single pot. And what we've seen is that this isn't what is happening, is that people are intensifying their senses of difference, even as culturally they may be more similar, which is a kind of paradox. But I also see that there are younger people, sometimes very urbanized people, who are descendants of these traditional communities, who are taking up these causes in new ways and creating new forms and getting, you know, using the new technologies and developing continental dialogues and mobilizations and addressing global issues and talking about things like food sovereignty and heirloom seed protection in ways that are very creative and new. And I take heart from them. I think one of the things that I've seen as people's water rights and their land is increasingly threatened by development, by water rights adjudication, by resort development, by urbanization, by the, you know, big chip-making industries, all of these larger economic forces, is that they have gone from very local acequia associations to form larger coalitions, first within a county, then across counties, then across the state, that the acequia associations have formed federations and coalitions that are now statewide. And you now have people who have one foot in the urban world and one foot in the rural world and who speak both languages and who know the new technology and who are, in some cases, maybe grew up knowing how to irrigate and farm, or maybe they're going back and learning from their elders how to do it and trying to talk to young kids about why they should care about water. And they're doing this creative, hybrid, innovative kind of organizing and blending symbolic forms, blending new age idioms with old traditional idioms. And I'm talking about people like Paula Garcia, the New Mexico Acequia Association, people like Miguel Santisteban. And that to me is incredibly hopeful because they're doing new stuff. But they're also combining it with the old ways, but in new ways. And it has to be that way because we can't just go back and, it's a new time. You really need to pull things together in new ways, and we really need young people to lead the way in doing this and to use older people as resources for this. So I find what they're doing the most heartening, because many of the people I've talked to are all over 50, the acequia guys, they're all older, and I'm older. But it's as these younger people that really hold the future, and they're doing things in new ways. That's hopeful.
Thank you for doing the interview.
Sure.